With all that's within me, with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up, that somebody here today might be encouraged, somebody might be saved, and someone might be turned from darkness to light. In the name of Jesus, I pray and ask it all. Amen. Please turn your Bibles to the book of John, to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 18 through 27 in chapter 16, verse 1. And it reads, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my sakes, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, let us talk for a topic, if you allow me to use Rebels just because. Rebels just because. Now, most people, when you see when they're in rebellion, they're rebelling to overthrow a government. We don't like this particular king, or we don't like the way that the school district is ran. And so they have these open rebellions. But today, in this discourse, Jesus is sitting down with his disciples. And he's getting them prepared, because he's getting ready to go to Calvary, y'all. And he knows he will not be with them. So he's equipping them to deal with the world that he's leaving them in. And as he goes through this discourse, he gets to this portion here in verse 18. And he begins to tell them about how that if you plan on living godly, if you plan, and he used that conjunction a lot, if. He said, if you plan on being obedient to Christ, if you plan on being a faithful witness, he said, let me tell you what you're getting ready to face. If he was in Texas, he would say, let me tell you what's fitting to happen. And he starts off by letting them know, you're going to be hated. Whoa. I thought Jesus loved me. Why he put me down with these people going to hate me? He said, because I got work for you to do. I got instructions for you to do. And because, you know, that is one of the most perplexing things. As I speak to Christians and talk to pastors and brothers and sisters, and just, it is one of the most perplexing things to Christians that when God says, love everybody. Love everybody like your brother. Everybody like yourself. Esteem your neighbors above yourself. Now, that's the clear distinction of what Christians are supposed to do. We're supposed to be known by our love for the brother. We're supposed to be known. So when I'm talking to especially new converts, what happened? Now none of my friends want to be around me. My family talk bad about me, all because I brought up the name of Jesus. This is what I get. I don't get it. I don't get it, Jesus. You told me to love everybody. You told me to be nice to everybody. You told me to lift up your name. You told me to preach in your name. You told me to teach in your name. And all I get is kicked in the teeth for it. What's up with this? And it's perplexing to them. Because now that they're saved, they thought, well, surely everybody want to know about this. Everybody want to know they can go to heaven. Everybody want to know about the good life. Got news for you. Not only do they not want to know about the good life, they will unfriend you, they will block you, and they will send a virus to your computer. Don't you think for 1 minute, just because you done got saved and the Lord has changed your life, He has miraculously worked in your life. He has turned you from lying to people that you just used to lie to just because I ain't got nothing better to do. I just lie to you. I lie to you when the truth do better. And God turned you away from that. He took a man who couldn't keep his eyes off of every other man's wife. And now all of a sudden he's walking straight. He said, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm just not going to do that no more. He took away that tongue, that venomous tongue of the town gossip. And now the only thing she uses that tongue for is church announcements? Come on. She's saying, surely people are going to appreciate this. Surely they're going to love me. And Jesus says, oh, by the way, if, here's that conjunction. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, he puts that conjunction there because when you put a conjunction there, it means that it's dependent upon something else happening. When he says, if. See, because some, now nobody here in Good Shepherd falls into this. Some of us ain't hated by the world. You know why some of us ain't hated by the world? Because there's no distinction between you and the world. Yeah, I said it. There's no distinction between your life and the life that you said you left. When you said, when Jesus came into my life, I want Jesus to guide my life. Because obviously before that time, he was not guiding your life and you lived a certain fashion. And now he's come into your life and you live in the same fashion and don't nobody know Jesus is in your life. That's why he says, if. The world hates you. Remember, they hated me because Jesus said from the time he started preaching the gospel, actually from the time he was born, Herod came after him. Herod said, killed every male child under 2 years old so I make sure I don't miss him. If I got to kill them all, make sure I don't miss him. He was hated before he even preached his first sermon. The Bible says when we become new creatures, old things. How many of the old things? All the old stuff, y'all. All that junk. All that clamor. All that confusion. It's got to go. Not only are you making yourself crazy, you're making everybody around you crazy. Because you reject the truth of God. He says, if the world hates you. I'm going to give you an example of what happened. In the Old Testament, see, because the Bible, God says, Jesus is talking about the world. When he's talking about the world, he's talking about this system that has raised up against him. There's an entire system. We know the head of it as the Antichrist, but the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well today, all around the world, has been for a long time. And that's the system that is designed to fight everything that God has put in place for us to do. It's here. And so God says to us in the book of James, he says, if you make yourself a friend of this world, though you are my child, you have made yourself. Now, I didn't make you my enemy. You have made yourself. You have counted yourself an enemy of God. Now, how does that work? Let me give you a picture of how that works. In the Old Testament, King David, everybody knows King David. Man after God's own heart. Godly man. In the Bible, he's actually a type of Christ. King David had sons that he raised. He had a son named Absalom. I like Absalom. Absalom was a lovable guy. They said Absalom was tall. I wanted to be tall. They said Absalom was handsome. He looked good. He was lady killer. I always wanted to be handsome. Fell short on being short and fell short on looking good. They said Absalom used to have hair that he cut once a year. And they said folks would have to gather around because his hair was so thick. And he was like one of them TV wrestlers. And people just loved to see Absalom. They loved him some Absalom. And so Absalom said, you know what, I got a pretty good thing going. Now, this is David's son. David's the king. David loves his sons. He loves all his sons, just like God loves us. When we are adopted into his world, we're his sons, and he loves us. But Absalom, when he's getting his hair cut one day, that once a year polling of his hair, thought came to Absalom, you know what, folks think I'm pretty smooth. I look good. I'm tall. I'm handsome. I'm charismatic. You know what? He started advising people. Tell you what. If I was the king, this is what Absalom said. He said, I'm not talking bad about my daddy. But if I was the king, life would be, I give everybody welfare. Hey, everybody can have whatever you want. You can have whatever you want. I'll pay for it. Whatever you desire, come to me. I'm the king. I spread it all around. Just come to me, and I'll make you a happy camper. Well, David, that wasn't what David was talking about. David was talking about God's righteousness. David was talking about if a man don't work, a man don't eat. David was talking about, let's work together to get everything together, but we're going to take some work here. So, and so people were like, now wait a minute. Absalom going to give it to me free. David going to make me work. Oh, come on, this is a no-brainer. I'm going with Absalom. And by doing what he did, Absalom made himself an enemy of his father. Here's the typology. Here's King David, a type of Christ. Here's Absalom, an antichrist. And he has made himself an enemy of his father. And look what happens in the story. Absalom actually ends up getting killed because he brings an army against his own father. But look what happens when his father finds out that his son has been killed, even in rebellion to him. He breaks down and he cries. He says, Oh, Absalom. If the world does not hate you, if you align yourself with this world, you grieve God. We grieve our Father when we align ourselves with this world. But then Jesus comes and he says, now, but I'm going to tell you, if they hate you, you're on the right track. Let's talk about cracking the code of hate. Verses 18 through 21. Cracking the code of hate. See, because I'm telling you, you know, that is a perplexing thing to think that when all I'm trying to do is good and all I'm receiving is hate, I just don't get it. I just don't follow it. I'm going to tell you about... Oh, by the way, when they say hate, that word that he's using here in the scripture, it means to detest to the point of persecution, destruction. Picture of how much they hated Christ. If my wife sees a roach, especially when the big ones, detest. Persecute. I said, baby, he's out in the yard. Leave him alone. He's supposed to be in the yard. I don't care. Kill him. That's what they thought about Jesus. And that's what the world, that's what Jesus is explaining to you, that the world thinks about you. They did. If they can recognize, if there's a sharp enough contrast between you and them, that's what they think about. In World War II, it's important that we understand this code. It's important that you understand the why and the what for of why they hate you. Otherwise, you just lose your mind trying to figure out why is everybody hating me. During World War II, the United States was at war with Japan. And Japan, the Japanese were masters at breaking military codes. Just absolute masters at it. But this man, a man named Philip Johnson, he went to the Marine commander because the Marines had put out a call that we need somebody to help us come up with an unbreakable code. We need to have a code that nobody can get through to, that they can figure out what it is. Because I'm going to tell you the advantage of having an unbreakable code. Here, when you see this right here, it talks about what Philip Johnson, who, by the way, was the son of a missionary to the Navajo Indians. Philip Johnson went to the Marine Corps and he said, hey, I think I got a code that can't be broken. Why don't we get some Navajo Indians, recruit them as Marines? He said, because the Navajo don't have an alphabet. The Navajo ain't got no books. Navajo, all their language is passed down from tradition to tradition. And this Philip Johnson, he was only one of approximately 30 people in the world who weren't Navajos who could speak Navajo because he was a missionary, son of a missionary born on the reservation. So the American government went to these young men and just let it be known that they go down in history as some of the most gallant men fighting in World War II. Because when I watched them on TV, I watched a thing on them, a program on them, and they talked to one guy. He was real, real, real old. And if you don't know anything about the Navajo Nation, I'll just tell you just a little bit. They, lot of discrimination, a lot of things, a lot of bad things have happened to those people who've been put on reservations, a lot of bad things. But the guy who they were talking to, old man, he was really proud of the fact that we went into every battle. We went to Iwo Jima. We went to Guadalcanal. We fought everywhere. And to this day, nobody has broken the code of the Navajo Indians. They called them code talkers. And this man said, even with all the stuff that had happened to him in America, my country, my people, and if they call me today, now this dude's like 80-something years old. He said, if they call me today, I'd get up and go do it again and fight for my nation. The Navajo code talkers had a code that was unbreakable. You know what happens when you have a code that's unbreakable? You get the victory. When the world comes at you with all the hate that they can muster, if you don't understand what Jesus is saying here, you're going to give them a victory. When your husband turned against you because you didn't got saved, you're going to lose your mind. When your mama put you out her house because you're talking all too much Jesus, you're going to lose your mind. When your best friend says to you, man, I ain't got time for that nonsense, you're going to lose your mind. If you don't know how to break the code, if you don't understand that Jesus has already said, they hate you because they already hated me. Get over it, understand it, and now you can deal with it. Because it hurts. It hurts when you got a blood brother who won't talk to you because you want to talk about Jesus. It hurts. But you got to understand that God said, don't worry about it, man. They hated me first. Ain't nothing happening to you, the servant, that's not happening to the master. And that does make it to where you can move forward. Because that kind of stuff tears up houses, y'all. It tears up complete houses. That kind of stuff, you didn't have, scripturally speaking, you didn't have but two brothers on the planet. And the one obeyed God, Abel obeyed God. Cain allowed Satan to enter into him and use him, and he killed his own brother. You want to know what this will happen if you don't understand this code? If you want to know what will go on, if you don't know If you don't know down in your spirit that Jesus has told you to stand, if you don't know that, you're going to do an Absalom. And you're going to start hanging with the enemy. And people aren't even going to be able to say you're hanging out with a bad crowd. You are the bad crowd. You're drawing people to you, just like Absalom. He says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If there's that conjunction, it's dependent upon something else taking place. If ye were of the world would love his own. He's telling you, there's the folks out there in the world, it's not that they're unlovable people. In fact, some of them are downright nice. This system that is raised up against Jesus Christ, this world system, some of the folks in it are downright nice. Some of the people in this world system that are antagonistic against the word of Jesus Christ would literally give you the shirt off of their back. As long as you don't say, give it in Jesus' name. Then we got a problem. Then we got a problem. But they are nice. They are wonderful speakers. They are wonderful teachers. They can give you an awful lot of worldly wisdom. As long as you don't bring up the name of Jesus. They're rebels just because. They're rebels because they hate Jesus. No reason. Jesus did nothing but good. All he did was go around preaching good, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, and they hated him. He says, if ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Ye never were of the world. From the foundations of the earth, God knew that he was going to pick you. And once he looked out into that miry clay and that miry mess out there, he chose you and he pulled you out of the world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. You are here. He said the only way that you cannot be in the world is to go into outer space or to huddle up into a little Christian cluster of people and hunker down and say, I'm not going to fool with the world. See, the people have tried that before. It's called monasticism. Monasticism is where you have the monks, where they go off into a faraway place, and then a bunch of them just get around, and all day long they sit around and go, never engaging the world, never talking to anybody about Jesus, but oh, they were so holy because they get in a huddle and go, God ain't never told us to do that. Jesus said, I pulled you, he said, I chose you out of the world while you are in the world. And I told you the world is going to hate you if and only if you represent me. If you don't represent me, you got no problem. You just go along and get along. Just do what you've been doing. Ain't nobody going to ruffle your feathers. But if you love me and if you're replicating what I'm doing, if you're living like I'm telling you to live, if you're talking like I'm telling you to live, they're going to hate you. Well, Jesus, let me think about this. You saved me. You told me to witness. You told me they're going to hate me. You told me they might even kill me like they killed you. Well, why are you sending me to them? Why are you sending me to them? Why can't I just let them go to hell? They live like hell. Why can't they just go? I don't want to get beat up. I don't want to be talked bad about. I don't want to get hit on. I don't want to get spit on. I don't want any of that stuff. He said, but here's what you're forgetting. I love them like I love you. That's what you're forgetting. It's so easy for us to distance ourselves from those low-living folks. Because now we ain't there no more. But he says, I don't want you to be like them, but I do want you to talk to them. So I'm showing you how to break this code so that when they retaliate the way that they normally retaliate, it won't take you by surprise. you'll be able to do the things that God has called you to do. Moving on. Jesus says, remember the word, verse 20, chapter 15, verse 20, book of John. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, and we know they did, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. That's the one bright light, y'all. That's the one bright light in this one part about cracking the code. Jesus says, look, most of them are going to hate you. And they're going to reject the word that you give them. He said, but you know what? Just like he's talking to his disciples, right? He said, just like I'm talking to you, there's going to be somebody somewhere. So don't lose hope. There's going to be somebody, just like they listen to me, when you give them the gospel, they will listen to you. I call those that glimpse of glory because I need that every once in a while. Every now and again, I just need to be able to talk to somebody who says, man, can you tell me some more about Jesus? I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because I be taking a beating, y'all. I'm just telling you, taking a beat. But every once in a while, he puts somebody there in your path who'll say, I never knew that. I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. And he's going to give you an opportunity to stand. And he says right here, he goes, just like you believed me, there's some folks who are going to believe you. So that's why you got to tell them. That's why you got to give them the word so that they can have that opportunity to be saved. You have to do it. Sometimes you got to get past you got to get past some real bad living. And again, like I said, many of us ain't that far removed. But sometimes you just got to see things and not see them. And you got to give them the gospel. You ain't got to convince anybody of it. It's not our job to convince anybody of the gospel. It's our job to bear witness to the gospel. It's our job to bear witness through a changed life. That person who I used to run with, that person I used to hang with, there's got to be something that they can see. There's got to be some difference that they can see. So that I can get an opportunity to tell them what thus saith the Lord. Then Jesus goes on, second part. First we talk about cracking the code of hate. Next part, testimony to the Messiahship of Jesus. Testimony to the Messiahship of Jesus. When you read these verses, verses 22 through 25, Jesus, see at this point in time, his disciples are convinced that he's the Messiah, the promised one of Israel, the one that God had prophesied, the one that the law and the prophets spoke to. But the rest of them haven't been convinced of it yet. He's talking predominantly, primarily to the Jewish community by application to us. But he's speaking to them, and he's saying, if I had not come, verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. The Bible tells us there was a time when God winked at sin. I don't know what all that means, but I know part of it is this. Sin was not imputed. Sin was not put on to the people who were during this time period. For example, on Wednesday night, we were talking about why when Cain killed his brother Abel, that's murder, right? Cain killed Abel. Why did God not kill Cain? He killed his brother. Why did God not kill him? It wasn't against the law. God had not given them a law saying that. So therefore, it was not imputed. It was wrong and it was sinful, but it was not imputed to him as sin. So what Jesus is saying here, he's saying in verses 22 to 25, he said, had I not come and spoken, he said, had they never heard one sermon preached about Jesus, then they could say, I didn't know. if he had never done one wonder, one sign, one miracle, then they could say, I didn't know, and it would not be imputed to them for sin, because God's not going to punish you for what you don't know. Okay. But in Romans chapter 1, he says everybody knows. And he says everybody is without excuse. Why? Because he has come. Because he has spoken. Because he has done the works that no other man has ever done. The Bible says, when he says that I've spoken, the Bible says that when he spoke before the Jewish community, he says they walked away saying, never has any man spoken with this kind of authority. We've heard sermons, we've heard prophets, we've heard preachers, but we've never heard anybody preach like this man preached. He says, if they didn't believe my words, maybe they should have believed my works. The Bible tells us about a man who was born blind in the Gospel of John. He talks about the man who was born blind, the young man born blind. And five times within about 10 verses, they repeat, this man was born blind. This man was born blind. But yet and still, when the rulers saw what Jesus did, they saw the miracle. There was no doubt about it in their mind that they saw the miracle, and they were, but they still wanted to reject him. They still wanted a cloak. They still wanted some way to say, I don't know. Just like a lot of us who, once we've gotten saved, God has moved into our lives. He has saved us. He has sanctified us. He has put us apart. And now we want to do something else, and we want to be able to say, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that wasn't God's command. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to go chasing women. I didn't know that. It's natural for a man to go chasing women. Somebody else's wife, somebody else's. But hey, I didn't know. That's what they wanted to be able to say. And when the man, when Jesus had saved the man who was, when he gave sight to the man who was born blind, the Pharisees came to him and said, who did this? How'd you get your sight? Rather than praising God and saying, wow, thank you, Lord, that somebody gave this man, after being born blind, this man has received his sight. And so they wanted a cloak to hide behind. But what happened was the man who was born blind kind of turned the tables on him, because what he ended up doing was he said, wait a minute. He said, now you guys are teachers of the law. You guys know everything about the law. And here somebody has given sight to somebody who was born blind, and you can't recognize who he is. You don't know he's the Messiah. You don't know he's the promised one of God. Jesus said, now they have no excuse. They have no cloak. Just like us. Just like those. And I'll say this. I hope you take this the right way. Maybe some of y'all need to stop coming to church and stop reading your Bible. See, because every time you hear the word and every time you read the word, you're going to be held accountable for that. I'm held accountable for it. You're held accountable for it. You don't have a cloak to hide behind. So right now, while you got enough stuff against you, maybe you might want to kind of shy away from church a little bit so you can try to say, I didn't know that. You can try. Now, I don't think it's going to work, but you can try. Okay? Because he says in Romans chapter 1, not one of us has an excuse. And once you get saved, you're held to a higher accountability. Because when you know more, you're accountable for more. That's a simple formula. Everybody who's got a job knows this. Everybody, some of y'all in management, some of y'all in upper management, even if you're just a regular employee, you all know, we all know, when we get that first 90 days or 60 days or whatever it is they do now, where they just tell you that you can do any old stupid thing, we ain't going to fire you unless you do something really, 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 really stupid, because you don't know. But Lord help you after that 90 days. Because you're going to be held accountable. That's just regular old common sense. So when you get saved by the creator of all the heavens and the earth, don't you dare say, I did not know that was wrong, when you knew it was wrong when you said it. You're going to be held accountable for it. The good news is, if you've caught up in something that right now you know you got no business being caught up in it, here's the good news. Let me give you some good news. You just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I agree with you. You said it was wrong, and I know it's wrong, and I agree with you. I'm confessing. I'm coming into agreement with you. And now that I've come into agreement with you, here's what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn away from it. I'm going to stop doing it. I'm not going to keep on sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and sinning and sinning and sinning. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to, Lord, by the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, give me the strength to turn away from this besetting sin. And I did not say it's easy. I did not say it's easy. Because when you get that besetting, that's why they call it a besetting sin. Because once it gets in you, it be sitting down. Okay. That one's fresh off the press. And that stuff is hard to deal with. It's hard to deal with. But through prayer and yielding to God's Spirit, He'll work it out, y'all. I'm telling you, He'll work it out, because some of us got some stuff that's just entrenched, been entrenched for years. But I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood, can work it all out. Just yield your members to Him. Give in to the Lord. Amen. That was the testimony of the Messiah. Now, here's one last thing I want to say about the testimony of the Messiah. When Jesus said they heard Him speak and they saw His works. Verse 24, book of John chapter 15, verse 24. Look at this. I don't want you to miss this. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did. Jesus said, I did things for the Jewish people who might be listening to this. I want you to ask yourself, if you're still looking for the Messiah, what's He going to do when He comes that Jesus did not do? You got to ask yourself that. That's a good question. So Jesus said, I did the works that no other man did. He goes, they would not have had sin. He said, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Wait a minute. Jesus said they seen Him and the Father. I thought the Bible said that no man has seen the Father. Isn't that what the Bible said? No man has seen the Father. But Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Sounds like He and the Father are one. He said, you have both seen, and you hate me, and you hate the Father. We have friends, we have relatives, we have neighbors who will say to you, look you square in the face and say, well, I love God. I believe in God. But all that Jesus stuff is a bunch of hocus pocus. Am I right? Oh, I love God. I believe in God. I'm a God. I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. But Jesus, I'm not quite convinced about all that death, burial, and resurrection. I'm just not there. Well, the Bible says, if you have rejected Jesus, didn't I just tell you? He said, I and my Father are one. He says, if you have rejected me, you have rejected the Father. And if you have rejected Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have just signed your ticket to hell. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save. He said, I'm bringing the message to you. He says, I'm giving you the opportunity. And let me show you what I got to do to convince you that I really love you. I'm going to go to the cross. And I'm going to be hung wide, stretched wide, hung high for you. What more do you need for me to convince you that I love you? I'm dying for you. What do you want me to do to show you that I love you? He says, but if you reject me, you reject the Father. And if you reject me and reject the Father, you have no hope. Let your friends know that. See, that's one of those things where they can't tell us from the world. When we get in those conversations and they say, well, I don't like Jesus, but I love God. And then we say, well, yeah, nothing. Stand your ground for Jesus. And by the way, when you do, they're going to hate you. And they're going to talk about you. But Jesus says He'll comfort you and He'll take care of you. So we don't have to convince them, y'all. We don't have to convince them, but we do have to tell them. We got to. Verse 25, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, They hated me without a cause. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 35, verses 19 and 20. And it reads, "Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land." He goes, they're talking, but they're not talking about peace. Isn't it strange? I think it's so strange that the world, the ones that hate the people of God, came up with a hate crimes bill. The people that God describes, not Pastor Will, the people that God describes, this world system, came up with a hate crimes bill. Read your Bible. God already told you what hate is. But now, according to our hate crimes bill, preaching the gospel, preaching the truth of Jesus Christ is going to land you at odds with the government of the United States of America, because if you preach Jesus Christ and the truth of his gospel, you have violated the hate crimes bill. Tell me Satan ain't more subtle than any beast of the field. It's in here, y'all. It's here. So we as Christians, knowing that, you just got to prepare yourself to stand. He says, be ready to stand and testify to Jesus. Last part. First, we talked about cracking the code of hate. Then we talked about testimony to the Messiahship of Christ. Now I've talked to you about help is on the way. You say, Pastor, I'm taking a beating just thinking about going out talking to people. I just the thought of going out and opening my mouth up to my family members. I just said, Lord, I can't take it. I can't take it. But I want you to know that help is on the way. Jesus said to his disciples, he's speaking to his disciples, and by way, it's directly to his disciples, but by way of application, it's to you and to me. He says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Verse 27, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And here's that, the most good of good news. Verse 16, Jesus says, after he didn't told you how much everybody going to hate you, he said, I told you these things. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Another translation says, so that you won't stumble. He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. That's a whole nother sermon, the Holy Spirit. But he says one of the things about the Holy Spirit, he's the Comforter. Another thing is he's the Counselor. And the Bible says that when Jesus told his disciples to go into the upper room and wait for him to come, he said, go to the upper room. He goes, and I will send you power from on high. That power from on high is the Holy Spirit. He said, because I know that when you get out here on the battlefield, there's a whole lot of things here to trip you up. There's a whole lot of people out here who you love, people who you really care about, and you just don't want to acknowledge their condition. And you don't want to incur their wrath when you start talking about Jesus. You just don't want to do it. He goes, but I don't want you to stumble. He said, I want you to be able to stand up. And I want you to be able to give a testimony for me. Because he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit's not going to talk about himself. Just like Jesus didn't talk about himself, Jesus talked about the Father. He gave credit to the Father for everything that he did. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's not going to talk about himself. He's going to testify about Jesus. He's going to tell us the truth about Jesus. You know, that's the regenerating power of Christianity. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, because in our own flesh, we just plain old get tired of fighting. We get tired of being talked about. We get tired of just trying to hold up the bloodstained banner. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you'll stop walking in the flesh, if we'll stop fighting in the flesh and use our weapons of war, which are not carnal, it's the power of prayer. He says, if we'll use this weapon, the weapons that God gives us, you will not stumble. And then he says, the Holy Spirit, he shall, verse 25, 26, he said, the Holy Spirit shall testify of me. And verse 27, I want everybody here now, because if you decide you're going to stick around, you decide you ain't going to stop reading your Bible and stop coming to church. So now I got to tell you what's up, okay? And ye shall be. Not you might be. Not you if you want to be. He says, you shall bear witness. He goes, it's my job. It's your job to declare Jesus. And see right there, he doesn't say just be a witness. He doesn't say just talk about him. When he says bear witness, that means every aspect of my life is to be a test. The way I walk, the way I talk, the way I sing, the way I play, the way I interact with my wife, the way I interact with my children, all of this is encompassed in that part where he says, you shall bear witness to me. So when people see you at work, when you walk in the building, there should be a radiance about you that people say, something different about him. Something different about her. And ultimately, it should lead them to say, we know that you've been with Jesus. Can people see that in your life? Can they see that in my life? By the way you walk, by the way you talk, by the way you conduct, by the way you love one another, by the way you love those who are unlovable, can people see by the way that you conduct yourself in the way, because you know, the Holy Spirit gives you that power. You can't do it in your own flesh, because some folks you just don't like. But Jesus says, love them. What Gomer Powell used to say, I love them, but I don't like them. You got to love them, and God will give you the strength to like them. But if nothing else, you got to witness to them. You got to tell them about Jesus. You got to live a life before him in such a way that Christ is glorified. Now, I talked to you about cracking the code of hate. Talked to you about the testimony of the Messiah. Let you know that help, because some of us are feeling pretty low. Our tank is on empty. Our tank is on empty. But I want you to hold on, because help is on the way. Help is on the way. But here's one thing I do want to put with you when I'm talking about the rebels, just because. I really, in all honesty, don't want you to be too harsh on them. Because it wasn't that long ago, it was me. Just filled with stupidity from head to toe. Filled with rebellion against God from head to toe. Not only was it me, it was you. Rebel just because. God say stand up, we say I'm going to sit down. God said walk forward, we say I'm going to go backwards. But God so loved the world that one day he sent his only son, his only begotten son. Because we're quick to say, God don't know me, and God don't know, he don't know my pain, he don't know nothing about me. But God said, I want you to know, I love you so much that I'm going to send my son to hang on the cross and pay for all the wretchedness that is in your life before you even got here. He paid for it. That's love. And he loved me so much, and he loved you so much, that his son went to the cross and hung, bled, and died. And then you know what he did? That was 2,000 years ago. I kept talking to Good Shepherd about being witnesses and testifying for Christ. Guess what? He sent somebody to me to give me. He found one obedient man who told me the gospel. William C. Upshaw, my pastor, when I was a child, crazy as I want to be, literally on my way to hell. And he stood up and said, son, if you don't confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, he says, son, you are going to go to hell. I want to listen to that. That's nonsense. I'm having a good time. But he told me about it. He didn't try to convince me about it because he knew if he just told me straight, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me rest. But somebody, some of y'all got a mama who stood in the gap for you. Some of y'all got a grandmama. She said, mama crazy, I'm going to pray for you. Some of us got aunties who knew the whole family was crazy. And she said, I'll stand in the gap for you. Some of us got coworkers who looked at our lives and said, our lives are complete shambles. And even unbeknownst to us, God had somebody stand in the gap and pray that you might be saved. And I'm saying to the saints of God, can we pick up that banner at some point in our lives and stop shucking and jiving with God and start living a godly life for Jesus? Instead of always going along to get along, can you stand? Let the Holy Spirit fill you and steal you so that you might be able to, having done everything else, stand. Saints of God, you used to be a rebel just because. Now God has given you a cause for him, the cause of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, take this banner and go and tell somebody. Tell somebody about me that they might be saved. God bless you.